going to be a real privilege to have Sydney preaching to us this morning. As a church, we're part of a group of churches called Commission. We're part of New Frontiers. We've got churches all over the place, actually. New Frontiers, we've got churches now. Apparently 1,500 churches now part of New Frontiers. I've discovered numbers just keep going up with new things planted, new nations. I'm just amazed, really, at some of the things I hear. For us, in Commission particularly, one of the places we have churches, as well as the UK, is India. And Sydney is based there. He's from Mumbai, from Living Word Church. I had the joy of going out there last November. I preached in Sydney's church, and that was such a joy to be there. I loved India, I have to say. I loved India. And Sydney's part of the team in India that look after all the Commission churches there. And it's a real privilege to have him with us. He's doing two things for us today. He's going to be preaching for us this morning. He's spoken in Bognor. He's going to be preaching here. And then this evening, Sydney's going to be running the leadership training sessions. It's one of the main things he does is leadership training. It's something he's really good at and gifted at. You will be blessed. And if you're sitting there thinking, should I come? The answer is yes. And particularly, I'm conscious sometimes people can think, oh, do I qualify? Does that make sense? You think, oh, is it okay? Just come, because no one's going to be on the door going, oh, what are they doing here? They obviously reckon themselves to it. No one's thinking like that. Just come and be blessed. I want you to be included. Does that make sense? Include yourself. Don't exclude yourself. Include yourself, and we will welcome you, and it will be a joy to have you with us. Even if you're just here for the first time, you could come and be blessed tonight. All right, so I think that's enough of that. You're going to enjoy Sydney this morning. And I'm sure he'll whet your appetite for this evening. Can we please give a huge Grace Church welcome for Sydney Nevis as he comes to speak to us?
Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much. It is really a joy to be here. Let me just get this wireless network out from this iPad here. It really is a joy. I was here last year sometime, and it's a great joy to be back here again. Thank you. I've really been enjoying Steve and Joe, and their affection and kindness and generosity has been absolutely wonderful. We're living with John and Molly. Some of you know them. We know John and Molly from about 25 years now. We started a church in Nashik together with John and Molly, and so we've been very much in touch with them. And so it's a great joy and privilege to be staying with them and catching up with them over this time here now. It's been wonderful. It's also been a great joy to go off to Commission prayer. A couple of days, we went 2 days to Bournemouth, where all the leaders and other guys from Commission prayer gathered together. And it was a great time to pray in and seek God for the future and to pray for new stuff that is happening all around. It is extending all over the place. If you're here and watching and wondering about joining, and I want to say stick in. Those guys that have just joined in, you've done well. God bless you. We're all about a great mission to bless the world for Jesus Christ, and join in and move on for God. Yes, the barn dance on Friday. Wow, that was an interesting time. we tried to do a little bit of hopping and kicking here and there. I guess we were one of the people that Steve might have recognized that can't dance. But what I loved about that time was, if you were not there, it was a wonderful, warm, friendly family atmosphere. And that is precious. Coming from outside and just seeing how you love one another. Truly, Jesus says that they will know, the world will know that you are Christians by your love for one another. And you've done very well. I think you've done so well, you need to applaud one another. Really, so good. It was really wonderful. We were so blessed, really blessed. Yesterday was a wonderful day. John, Steve and Joe took us off to London to give us a taste of London. We went on the train and the underground, weaving, and found everybody trying to figure out where to go and how to go, and everybody's getting lost here and there. But Steve knew where he was going, and he took us there. We had a boat ride on the Thames River, absolutely wonderful. Before that, we took a selfie with the Big Ben behind us. That was awesome. We took a photo of the London Eye, and then went off to the London Tower, and then we were at the British Museum. Amazing time, absolutely wonderful. Having just seen all of that, made me, I haven't read too much of British history, but I've been excited and encouraged to say, perhaps I need to hear and understand of British history. But it's so strange, with all these getting these people getting heads chopped off here and hung over there and strung over there. Well, it's some history. It must be interesting. I've also been enjoying the food. It's been great food. British pie and hog roast. Amazing stuff. Well, I bring lots of love from Living Word Church, the church that I've been leading. And they have been praying for you and have sent us with great love and affection and remembering you. And so please receive our love from Living Word Church. And David, who's the elder with me, would send his love too. Along with that, I'm part of Vinu. I wonder if Vinu has been here as well a couple of, perhaps a weeks ago. And I'm a part of Vinu's team serving all the churches in India. And so he would send his love to you as well. Please receive that. I'm going to share about something pretty interesting. Something that we all want. Something we would like more of. Something we would we hope to have. We hear somebody else has. Yeah, I'd like some of that. I hear about him and I hear about her and I see him. We'd like some of this. And it's really about hearing God's voice. Hearing God's voice. That's such an amazing thing. My whole Christian journey started around hearing God's voice. But before we start there, I'd like to show you a little video. So have a look at this video. Sheep hearing the farmer's voice. I think all of us know about the sheep hearing the father's voice. We know, we've read, we've heard. And I too have known, read, and heard. But when I looked at that, that's absolutely amazing that you see that sheep actually only recognize the farmers. Any sheep farmers here this morning? Well, there's one. Oh, okay. So it was so amazing to see that the sheep actually could only hear and follow and come running after this one farmer. And I want to talk to you about a journey of perhaps learning how to hear God, hearing God. If you're a sheep, our Father is the shepherd, and you can hear his voice. So let me speak to you from 1 Samuel and chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim, so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said to him, "Here I am." And ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I didn't call you. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I didn't call you, my son. Lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Let's just pray before we go on. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are our shepherd. We thank you that we can hear you. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that there are many of us who know we can hear the shepherd, but have not been hearing. And I pray, oh God, today would be a day that they will begin to experience your voice. Others among us, I pray, who are already hearing, would be affirmed and encouraged to keep hearing and enjoying the wonder of hearing our good shepherd. I pray, bless us. Holy Spirit, come upon us. Come upon the word. Come upon us as we listen, as I speak, O God, that you would be honored, that you would be glorified, that we would live for you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is an amazing story. It's a common story. But for some of us, we may not have heard this story before. This is a story about a guy, a lady, that gave her son to the temple because God spoke to her. So the son, his name is Samuel. He was now living with Eli, the priest. He's been living he must have been in his early teens. And he was serving. What was he doing with the priest? He was serving. And what serving meant in those days, perhaps it was sweeping the floor here and there. Perhaps it was cleaning and swabbing it all around. Perhaps it was lighting lamps here and there. Perhaps it was carrying stuff from here to there. Perhaps it was just doing ordinary bits and bobs around the place. Samuel, in the end of his life, was one of the mighty prophets that is mentioned in the Bible. Mighty, amazing, fearsome prophets of that time. But he didn't start there. He started serving, just putting chairs. Now, there are many among us who are just doing the odd jobs here and there. And we sometimes think that, you know, hey, that's really a small thing. Perhaps in your heart, you sometimes feel, all I'm doing is just this or I'm just doing that. But that's the way God starts with every one of us. If you're the one, if you're coming early and setting up this place, well done. If you're on the PA and serving, well done. If you're out in the if you're out there welcoming guys, well done. If you're just in the back end doing some computer stuff and handling the finances, well done. Well done for all the serving that's happening. God is pleased with that. God's pleased with you and saying, well done. That's where it all starts. That's where it all starts, and we need to keep our hearts ready and say, God, it's all about serving you. Whatever you do, you're serving God. So here was this little guy. He was serving in whatever way he could. He was helping around in whatever way he could. And this happened in an ordinary day one night. He was kind of lying down. Middle of the night, suddenly he hears Samuel. So he gets up and runs over to Eli. Now, I've read this many, many years ago. And when I read it in the initial years of as I began to read it, I thought the way God's voice must have come to Samuel must have been, Samuel. Did anybody else think like me? Yep. Yeah. And I thought, yeah, it must be. And I said, but as I began to consider it, I said, if this voice called Samuel came, what would Samuel's reaction be? Oh, goodness gracious, who's calling? What's happening? Who'd been frightened? You'd been worried. You'd been down on your knees. He's been frightened. But what was Samuel's reaction? When he heard his name Samuel, he was not frightened. He was not afraid. He was not shocked. He was not surprised. He was not troubled. What did he do? Hey, that sounds like Eli. That sounds like Eli. So he jumps up and runs off to Eli. Now, Eli was an old man. He was an old priest in the temple. He couldn't see very well. He couldn't move around very well. And there was Samuel there to help him. So Samuel, when he heard this voice, his name being called, he ran off to Eli. And what would Eli perhaps want? In the middle of the night, perhaps Eli needed a glass of water. Perhaps he needed help to go to the loo. Perhaps he needed some bugs must have been buzzing around him, swish them off. Or what? We don't know what was the reason he could have been called. But it was not new to Samuel. Samuel got up and ran. So here he is, he's lying down. He hears his name, up, runs over to Eli. Eli says, hey, he must have woken Eli. That reminds me of being woken up this morning. This morning, I got up in the middle of the night and I was woken away. And I didn't know what. I wondered, what was I awake for? I didn't know. Anyway, I went back to sleep. And this morning, as I, Cheryl says, you know, last night I woke you up because you're snoring so loudly. I said, oh, it is not God. It's only my wife. But there was Samuel. He got up and he kind of ran over to Eli. And Eli says, hey, I didn't wake you up. Don't wake me up. Go back to sleep. So Samuel runs off and goes back to sleep. He lies down. A few seconds later, he hears the same voice, Samuel. And it sounds like Eli. And it sounds like Eli needs something. He gets up, runs over, and again he asks Eli, Eli, what's up? What do you need? Yes, I didn't ask for anything. I don't need anything. Go back to sleep. So Samuel goes back. And again the third time, Samuel, he's up and he runs over. And as I was thinking about this, I said, look at this guy. Three times he's called, and for three times, there's no reason why he's there. He's just ready to be helping in whatever way he can. And I wondered whether I would be like that. If somebody called me and said, hey, come to the office, I need some help. And you arrive at the office, all the help was already done. What the point of calling me for? Wouldn't you say that? But it didn't happen once. Hey, I need some help. Come over to that house. We need some shifting done. We need some cleaning done. Will you come over? You take away your time, you disturb, you say to your wife and your children, I'm going to go over and help, and you leave everything and you go over to help, and you reach there. Sorry, it's all done, man. What? Now, I don't find any of that bad attitude in Samuel. Samuel's called three times. And even after the third time, he's up, and he's there to help. And I find, oh God, help us. May we be ones that are just available to help. Sometimes we are needed and sometimes we are not. But God is wanting us to be ready to help at all times. So he was serving. He was serving. And many of you are serving brilliantly. And I was thinking of that. I think that you're serving brilliantly. I want to encourage you. Well done. Perhaps nobody notices it. Nobody sees it. But God is watching you. And God would say, well done for you who are serving. So he runs off, up and down. And Eli says, go off to sleep. And then you see, in those days, nobody was familiar with this voice of God. Today, if you were chatting with someone, if you're New Year and you said to someone, did you hear God? He says, yeah, God speaks to us. God speaks to him. God spoke to him. God speaks. But that kind of God speaks was not there in Samuel's time. Nobody knew, nobody heard this thing called God speaking. Nobody understood. It was not the time where prophetic words were coming around. It was just not that time. Years and years had gone by. Nobody had heard God's voice. And now suddenly, so Samuel is hearing his voice. He hasn't even got an imagination that God could possibly speak. And now here is Eli saying, but Eli is aware. Eli has heard God. And he really realizes, hey, perhaps God wants to speak to this guy. So in the third time, when Samuel comes running over, he said, hey, Samuel, now, if you do hear that voice again, say, yes, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel doesn't know what to expect. Goes over and lies down. Again, the voice comes. And the voice says, Samuel, Samuel. So this time he gets up and he says, yes, Lord, speak. And the Lord says some really stuff. The Lord said to him, Samuel, I want you to give a word of warning and judgment to Eli. Now that was hard. That was painful. Eli was not walking properly with the Lord. And God was saying to him, I'm going to bring judgment upon you. And the first thing that God says to Samuel is, I want to say that. Now Samuel was worried, upset, difficult, but he had to obey. He had to learn to obey. Hearing God is a learning process. Nobody just hears God immediately. Nobody just suddenly says, ah, I know what. This is what God says. God really speaks. Now I want to talk to you about how God speaks to us in various ways. The first way he speaks is an audible voice. Now, I don't have, we usually, when I'm teaching on the voice of God and listening to God, it's almost a day or 2 days of teaching. So I'm just going to bring it down to a few things that I'm going to share with you in the next 20 minutes. Just about hoping that you'd be, if you are hearing God, perhaps you'll be sharpened up. If you're not hearing God, you'll be encouraged to say, how can I hear God? And that we'll be pressing on to hear God to accomplish for him. The first way is that he speaks as an audible voice. Now, I have never heard the audible voice of God. Very few people have heard his audible voice. But I remember in our church, when I was preaching this, I said to him, has anybody heard? I have not heard the audible voice of God. Has anybody heard the audible voice of God? One lady put her hand up. And the husband looked and said, put your hand down. You haven't heard the audible voice of God. And she said, I did too. So he said, okay, we're going to have a conversation at home. But let me tell you here. How many people have heard the audible voice of God here? Any hands up here? We got one, two, three. Well, three people have heard. I hope your wives and husbands have known how you heard that. Because this guy, when he went home, he said, what happened? She said, you remember, I just couldn't stand your mom. She used to be so upsetting to me. She so harassed me. She just used to not say what I wanted her to say. She would say things I didn't want her to say. She would do things I didn't want her to do. She would not do things I desperately wanted her to do. And like every mom-in-law and every daughter-in-law knows exactly what that means. And she said, I just couldn't handle her. I had it up to here. I just couldn't handle her. And I decided I'm not going to have anything to do with your mom. You remember that? He said, yeah, I remember. And then she says, I was cooking one day. And as I was cooking, I suddenly clearly heard, forgive your mother-in-law. And she said, nobody was in the kitchen with me. The window was open, and Mumbai is a noisy city. She said, I think maybe I heard the neighbors. And she kind of listened. She said, no, I couldn't. Must be in my imagination. She continued cooking. And again, she heard the voice, forgive your mother-in-law. She says, who is saying that? As clear as daylight, she could just hear, forgive your mother-in-law. She says, it can't be. And she heard it the third time. She said, this is God. She stopped, put off the cooker there, went off to her mother-in-law. And she said, mom-in-law, God said to me, I must forgive you. And I forgive you for anything you have done to me. And will you please forgive me? And they were reconciled. And she says, I was never the same after that. Our relationship was never the same after that. And she said to him, you remember that? He says, yeah, I remember. She says, you never remember. You don't listen properly. Well, husbands, please learn to listen to your wives. They tell some amazing stories. But this lady had a story of the audible voice of God. And God actually speaks. But now, before we go into a few more bits of how God speaks, why does God speak? Why does he speak? Does he speak so that you can be cool? Hey, you know what? God spoke to me, man. I'm cool. I'm the one here. God speaks to me. Is that the reason? So that you can be cool? So you can be the one that says, you know, I'm a better than anyone else? No. I want to suggest to you, there are many more reasons, but I want to suggest to you two reasons of why God speaks. The first reason is for obedience. When God spoke to Samuel, he expected Samuel to do something about it. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15 says, as it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the day of rebellion. God's intention of speaking is so that you obey. It's not so that you get puffed up with knowledge and now I know God speaks. No, it's not about that. God wants to speak. God is speaking. But when he does speak, he expects instant and quick and immediate obedience. Everybody say quick and immediate. That's how you expect obedience. He's not lingering. So he wants that. When he does speak, one of his purposes is for obedience. Another purpose is for belonging. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If you do hear his voice, if you do feel something of God, Be assured and assure yourself, no matter what time of life you're going through, what kind of a crisis you're going through, God, if he is speaking to you, he would say, you're my son then. You're my sheep. My sheep know my voice. They're mine. And if you're in any way hearing his voice, be affirmed. Be affirmed. Be encouraged. God's with you. The shepherd loves you. His eyes upon you. But if you're not sure, if you're not sure, you don't know for sure, does God really speak? Now's the time. Today is the opportunity for you to actually recognize and have a deep sense of recognition. I am belonging to Jesus Christ. There's a possibility. So let me share with you further. This hearing God, my journey of hearing God. I'm wondering as I press through in this, I can tell you Bible stories of how hearing God comes through. But I thought it would be nice to share my stories. Would you like to hear my stories?
Yes.
All right, tell you my stories about hearing God. I really was a nice chap. I was really a nice chap as a young guy. I didn't think I sinned. I never drank. I never smoked. I was not on drugs. I didn't have any girlfriends. I didn't have any sicknesses. I didn't have any ailments. I was happy. I had a good job. I was on my way doing stuff. I knew where I wanted to go. I was not looking for God. I didn't need anything with God. And I was all right. Many people would have, you know, I need God for this and I need God for that, but I didn't need God for anything. But God came and began to move into my life. It started with an aunt that used to come to tell us Bible stories, my mom's sister. My mom would invite her home, and then she would say, okay, we have five children, three older sisters, and me and my younger brother, get us all to sit on the floor and say, okay, and my mom and this aunt would tell us Bible story. Oh, God. Oh, God, that used to be the most boring time I can remember of hearing the Bible story. I just wanted to get up and get out. But you had mom's watchful eye. You dare not get up and get out. I don't know, in our days, that's how it was. You just sat as a young guy. Anyway, so we just didn't want anything to do with Bible stories. Around 18 or 19, I had the opportunity to go to my aunt's house and stay with her for a little bit of a holiday. Her son is as old as me. And oh, God, mistake I think I made. Because I landed there in the morning at 9 o'clock, breakfast time. What she gathers all, everybody, read the Bible and pray. In the afternoon, lunchtime, everybody's gathered together, read the Bible and pray. Evening time, tea time, everybody get together, read the Bible and pray. By the end of that day, I said, I got to make a plan. Exactly how to be out of the house, exactly those 3 moments in the day. And I did that. And I did that happily. We were out of the house. Exactly those 3 moments in the day. And I remember coming home at night around, we went for a late night movie and came kind of home 1 o'clock in the night. And as me and my cousin were kind of creeping into home, I noticed Auntie reading her Bible at 1 o'clock. I said, what's up with this, Auntie? Morning, afternoon, evening, and even in the middle of the night? But there she was, and that surprised me a bit. So I went off to sleep in the morning. 11 o'clock, she's making some breakfast for us. I went, ambled over and said, Aunt, what's, you know, reading the Bible in the middle of the night? What happened? So she said, son, you're a guest in our home. You don't know what's happening around us. But God woke me up in the middle of the night, asked me to read a particular passage of scripture that said, don't worry for whatever news is going to come in the morning. And she says, son, you're a guest here. I've had some very traumatic news. But I'm not worried because God woke me up and said not to worry. I said, God woke you up? God said? And Aunt says, yes. And she was about to launch off into another story and a lecture. And I said, oh, I was out from there. I ran away before she could do anything. But the thought that God can speak really was intriguing to me. If God speaks, I want to hear. If God can speak, I was brought up to do all the religious stuff. You light your candle, you say your prayers, you kneel down, you go here, you do there. I did all the other stuff as well with my friends, with my Hindu friends. I lit some lamps, rang some bells, said something. You did whatever religion was around. Really, you did everything outside. Really nothing had any effect on the inside. But if God speaks, and I want to hear, I want to hear, and I want to say to you, if you're perhaps here and you haven't heard God, I want to encourage you, you can hear God. You can. you who believe, who are hearing God, encourage you to keep continuing on. All right. What's the first way of hearing God? The first way of hearing God is to become a child of God. So in this whole passion of mine to figure out God, my mom began to attend a small meeting. And my dad was squabbling with her and said, you can't go because you've got to come back late at night. So I said, okay, I'll go home and bring her. I'll go home and bring her from there. So I remember in the evening, I went for this meeting. There must have been 50, 80 people in a small room, and a guy playing a guitar, some people shouting, screaming, singing, waving, flailing their hands all around, some people hopping and dancing. And as I kind of crept into the back, I said, what is happening here? It's supposed to be a religious and a Christian meeting, but this is rubbish. What's all this activity going on? What's all this noise going on? It has to be different. So I kind of, right at the back of the thing, my arms were folded. I was 19 years old, and I said, this is rubbish. This is all rubbish. It's happening all. This is really rubbish. And everybody is, goodness knows what, they're all facing that way, and they're looking. And I'm saying this, I'm not part of this. Anybody even glancing at me needs to know I'm not part of this. I'm just here to take somebody home. And mom is way back in the front there. She's not even bothered. Anyway, so I'm standing there, and all of a sudden I start crying. Tears start coming down my eyes, and I start saying, goodness, what's happening? What's happening? I'm not thinking any painful thoughts. I'm not thinking any painful memories. My body's in good condition. I'm not feeling any pain. Nobody's banged me, hurt me, or troubled me. But tears are beginning to fall down. Nobody's looking at me. Oh, I take out my handkerchief to try and wipe the tears. And what do you know? Goes on. All my mind is saying, how do I get out of here? I wish I disappear. I'm just so embarrassed. I'm just trying to calm down and, you know, stop this. So I hold back the sounds, but it goes on deep within. Mom comes in. I immediately just drag her. I'm not having anything to do with that meeting again. 2 or 3 weeks later, it was the April season, and a newspaper article was out in the newspapers in the Times of India. And I was reading the editorial section where it talked about a whole explanation, a kind of a scientific, historic explanation of how Jesus was crucified. Not really Jesus, but people, how the Romans crucified people. And some of the things I remember was the nails were not put in the palms of the hand there. Like all the idols I've ever seen where nails were put there. The nails were not. And the reasons were that if the nails were put here, the weight of the body would be so much it kind of rips you out. The nails were put scientifically between the two wrist bones here, so that the whole weight was resting on the ligament. And some very detailed things of where the nails were put under the shins, and how the spear pierced the side, and how these thorns were there, and how the whip had these bones attached to it. As the whip went around the body, it kind of just pulled off the flesh, the outer flesh, not deep enough to so injure the person, just enough to kind of take off the top outer skin layer, so that it would be rough, on the rough pole of the cross, really, it would tatter out there. So details like that. I said, my goodness. At the end, almost in a mocking way, it says, Jesus Christ is supposed to have died for sinners like that. When I read that, I didn't think I'm a sinner. But I said, if this Jesus has died in such a terrible way, maybe I have. So I went to a quiet place and said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. And you know what happened? Nothing happened. As I look back at my story, I would have wished something did happen. But nothing happened. But I thought nothing happened. Something had started on the inside. I loved telling dirty jokes. I loved telling dirty jokes. I read dirty jokes, heard dirty jokes, added and made it more dirty, and said the same joke. My friends couldn't recognize it as the same joke after they told me it, their joke yesterday. And they loved it, so they would constantly bring people. So a couple of weeks later, I was then with my friends telling this dirty joke. And they said, hey, my cousin just come from wherever, will you tell this dirty joke? So I was into the dirty joke. And I was telling it, and they were enjoying it. And all of a sudden, I realized, hey, mom's watching me. Or dad's watching me. In our house, no dirty jokes, no bad words, or you would get a backhand knock with a few teeth falling over. That's how it happened in our house. And perhaps, so no dirtiness was there in the house, outside, wherever. But mom, I suddenly realized, oh goodness, mom's dad's watching. But mom and dad are not watching. And I said, goodness gracious, must be my brother. He must be hearing me somewhere. I'm going to tell on me like all younger brothers do. But no brothers were there. I began to feel strange. I enjoyed the joke 2 weeks ago, and now I'm not able to enjoy it. I'm not able to say it. I said, hey, guys, I can't say the joke. One of the guys says, what happened? I couldn't explain. So he said, okay, I'll continue on with the joke. So as he continued on, I was uncomfortable to even listen to the joke. I said, hey, you guys continue on. I walked away. And as I walked away, I suddenly began to recognize, is this God speaking to me? Is this God speaking to me? And I assumed and recognized God is, because I liked the joke. My friends liked the joke. I enjoyed it all the time before. What is suddenly changed? God has suddenly come in. And I recognize God speaks through our conscience. And that's the next thing. God speaks through our conscience. Before we that, having had that experience, this time where I began to cry, and after that, I suddenly developed a passion to read the Bible. Somebody gave me a small Gideon's Bible. It was given out freely in schools and wherever, and I had it somewhere, and I began to read it. And I just began to read passionately. I didn't understand anything too much. I read it, must have been reading it 2 or 3 times. Didn't have any effect on me. I just suddenly desired to read it. And that passion developed. But I don't know whether it was from there or where. But my conscience suddenly began to affect me. I loved something, and suddenly I didn't love that. It was not because nobody brainwashed me. It was nothing because I went anywhere. Something had happened on the inside. And that I recognized is God speaking. So sometimes God's going to speak to you in your conscience. God's going to speak to you. And you need to hear and understand that, how he speaks to you. I got a verse out here for God speaking in the conscience. It's 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19. Holding faith and a good conscience, by rejecting this, some have made shipwreck of their faith. So God clearly speaks in our conscience. And some of you out here, you know you're doing something wrong. Mom is not there. Dad is not there. No church leaders are there. Nobody else is around you. You know you're doing something wrong. Why do you know you're doing something wrong? Is it God speaking to you? Is it God speaking to you? Perhaps it's a relationship. Perhaps it's money. Perhaps it's your thoughts. Perhaps it's the way you feel. And you know it is wrong. Nobody's telling you it's wrong. Nobody's saying it's this. And you know something. It's God. You need to take a step of faith and say, no, I'm going to put that to death. I'm going to say no, because that's how God speaks to us. God speaks clearly through our conscience. God speaks through preaching the word. There's lots of stories to tell you about preaching the word. As you're hearing the preach, as I heard the preach, God spoke to me. I was supposed to go off to Australia, migrate to Australia and be there and live there. I've got everything all sorted out. But then suddenly, as I was hearing the preaching of the word, I felt almost as the preacher was almost speaking to me. Suddenly, in the midst of 150, 200 people, and I felt God say, I need you to stay here in India and live here. I abandoned all ideas of going off to Australia and lived in India. I've been there for 30 years. I thank God I'm here, because I then met my dear wife, and we're married so happily. I'm thankful to God. But God speaks through preaching of the word. God speaks through his word daily. I'm not going to throw to too many. I'm just going to just a few things. I never wanted to get married. My parents were not so good examples. My relatives, my brothers and friends, and my dad's brothers and relatives were not good examples at all of marriage. And it was about 30-odd years ago. Really didn't want to get married. My dad's, some people's advice was, you know, just enjoy your life. Just enjoy with as many girls as you can. That's the way it was. But as I was reading my Bible, I came across this verse in Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 3. And it says, for this cause a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they shall be naked and have no shame. Suddenly, I had a kind of a vision for marriage, that God wants us to enjoy an amazing marriage for the rest of our lives. And I made a decision. God spoke to me about my wife. I didn't know her. I didn't see her before. I didn't know anything about her background. God spoke to me, and that's another story as well. God just spoke to me and said, that's the girl to get married. I met her for the first day on Jan the 2nd. I proposed to her the day I met her, and I said, God spoke to me to marry you. I'm willing to marry you. You take some time to figure it out if you want, but I'm going to marry you whatever way you like. But I said, if you feel no, I'm okay with that, but I believe that. She said, in a couple of weeks' time, she had heard God as well, sharply, clearly heard God and said, yes, I believe God's told me to marry you. 6 months later, we got married. And we are now married for 25 years. Yay. And I want to tell you that marriage is amazing. But it's because of reading his word daily, God's word suddenly comes alive. You want to have a good and wonderful marriage in the future. There's one way. There's an amazing way. It's not about romance. It's not romancing your wife. It's not romancing your husband. It's not having great sex. It's not wonderful pleasures. It's not giving good gifts this way and that way. There's one way that your marriage is going to be wonderful and it will remain for the rest of your life. What's that one way? It's making a decision to marry and stay married till death do you apart. When you do that, pleasure comes in. When you do that, intimacy comes in. When you do that, unity comes in. Like nothing before. And that gives honor and glory to God. But that came through the daily reading of his word. But often as you're reading, as you're thinking, there are kind of three voices I suddenly realized. Three voices that you suddenly hear. The first voice is your own. The second voice is the world or the evil one's voice. And the third seems to be like God's voice. I remember in the early days, I just got my salary. I'd spent some bit of it and I was there in the church meeting. And I was sitting out there and we were worshiping. And I suddenly felt, put all your salary into the offering as it passes by. I said, what? It must be the devil. Can't be God. But the devil doesn't want to bless anyone. And I don't want to bless. I want to bless, but you know, a little bit. Not everything. So who's this? And I realized there's three voices that come. Your own voice. The voice of the devil or the world around, and the voice of God. And I learned that we need to submit this voice to God. We need to test this voice. I felt God speak to me about my wife, about this. I went immediately and submitted to the elders of the church and said, I feel God saying this to me. And they confirmed it. Sometimes I felt some things that God said to me, and I shared it with the leaders, and they said, that doesn't seem to be from God. But I think it's from God. And they said, no, I think that doesn't seem. It seems to be more of the world that you're talking about. And so I need to recognize that. I needed somebody to help us along in understanding the whole way God speaks to us. There are three ways God speaks to us. Okay, why we don't hear God? There's more. There's a lot more, but I'm just going to give you a few bits more. Why we don't hear? Because we've not been taught from as children that you can hear God. And we need to, if you're into the kingdom of God now, if you're attending the church now, you need to begin to realize that you can hear God. Every single one of us, whoever you are, whatever background you've come from, whatever language you speak, whatever way of mind you have, you can hear God. We need to hear that and understand that and say that to our children as well. The next thing is we feel God didn't speak to ordinary people. I'm too ordinary. I'm a useless guy. I'm a nothing guy. I'm just here. I'm not as good as that. I'm not as good as this. I'm falling here. I'm failing there. That's fine. God loves you no matter what. And you need to change your mind. God loves you. You are his child and he wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to you wherever you are, whoever you are. The next reason we don't hear God, we feel God only speaks to elders and leaders and the holy guys and the preacher guys up there and the prophet guys out there and the holy fellows up there. No. God speaks to everyone. God speaks to every one of us. Every single one of us, God speaks. And I want you to be stirred up to say, hey, God does speak. And if you're not hearing, you need to say, God, how can I hear him so that he speaks? And the reason some of us are not hearing God is because we're just too busy. Are we too busy to hear God? We need to hear God and not be busy. Take some time off. And also we're not listening because we're listening to so many other voices. My daughter recently said that when I listen to some music, I seem to kind of dull the edges of God's voice coming to me. I'm listening to a particular type of music that is blasting my brains and my imagination and my thoughts, that is blunting me to hear God's sharp voice that's calling for holiness. And I think we all need to recognize there are too many voices that are bombarding us around us. And we need to hear the sharp voice of God. Hearing God is a lifelong process. Some become familiar with his voice by reading, meditating, and listening. Obey immediately. Obey immediately. I'd like to pray for you. If you're not hearing God, if you haven't heard his voice, if you have heard his voice, before I pray for them, if you are hearing his voice and you're radically obedient, I want to say to you, well done. I want to say to you, well done. In fact, God would say to you, well done. If you're obeying, you know the radical obedience you're giving to God. Wherever you are, however old you are, whatever phase of life you are, you know you're obeying. And God says, well done. For others who are not sure and want to be sure, I'd like to pray for you. God, I want to be sure. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. If you'd like some prayer, would you like to stand up? I'm going to pray for you. If you'd like prayer to say, God, I want to hear you. I want to hear you sharply. But remember, the point of hearing is obedience. If you're standing up, hold on. If you're standing up, I want to warn you. God's not going to speak to you so that you're going to be happy and proud about it. God wants you to do something about it. He wants you to be a blessing. He wants you to be a blessing. He wants you to be a blessing to your city, to your neighborhood, to your family, to your friends. He wants to use you. And he's going to speak to you. And he wants you to obey. Will you be radical and say, God, my life is yours. I am your sheep. You are my shepherd. I will run when you call. Come, lift our hands to you. Father God, I pray, O God, come now. Spirit of God, upon each one of these dear ones standing, O God, I pray, O God, that they would become familiar with the voice of God. O Holy Spirit, familiar and a radical decision to obey you no matter what. Some things they will understand. Some things they will not understand. Some things make sense. Some things doesn't make any sense. I pray they will do it in great submission and gentleness in their obedience. They will do it together. Oh God, come and bless each one here. Cause divine touch on each one of these dear men and women standing here. That, Lord, we be a people who live for you, radically obedient to you. Come upon each one. Bless them, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.